Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Such a beautiful thing to see that halfway through the service, we can take time to continue worshiping God by fellowshipping with one another, right? It means that much to us that we want to come on a Sunday to worship our Savior, and we want to sing, we want to pray, we want to get to know one another and love one another, and that community time is just as important. We also want to get around the Word of God and even around this incredible symbol of baptism because we love Him. He means everything to us. He's changed our lives, and that's what's going on in this passage that we're looking at this morning. It's a story about three men whose lives are totally changed by Jesus Christ. It's a story about how they encounter Jesus, and then they experience the reality of who Jesus is. And then Jesus calls them and they follow him. Their lives are forever changed. It is a powerful story, and that can't be missed for us today. It would be wrong for us to miss just how powerful this in the everyday kind of narrative of this story, in the way that it's told. Because it's told in a way that actually invites our story into it. Yeah? It's told in a way that comes across as a one day, this is just what happened. And it means that for us as well, one day Jesus did come into our lives, or one day he might and may come into your life. And so that's what's going on in the story that we're looking at this morning. And so I hope you're encouraged to jump into it today. I hope that whets your appetite, as it were. So open up your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Luke chapter 5. You might want to get a paper Bible up in your face like this. Some people like to do that. They like to get a paper Bible up. If you've got eyes like mine, you have to have it right about here. I'm going with a bigger Bible today because my little one, I was preaching like this, and it's not good for eye contact. Or you might have the Word on your phone, and if not, we have the Word up here for you. The point is that the Scriptures mean that much to us, don't they? We know that Jesus Christ speaks through His Word. We know that there's something mysterious about that. We can't even fully articulate how this takes place. We just know from our own experiences and from what we read that the Word of God somehow gets a hold of our lives, and the Spirit works in our hearts and changes us with His very words. And so, in a way, we're the eager people who love to come around this book and hear from God through that. And that's my prayer for you this morning. You would hear from Him through this average, everyday kind of story. It's Luke chapter 5, and it starts with the words, one day. And so, like I've been saying already, we're meant to kind of get this sense of there's just an average, everyday kind of day going on, certainly for these three guys that are about to encounter Jesus. And so, by all means, connect your story of your journey in life up to this point with what's going on here, because this may be your story as well today. Yeah, that's my prayer for you this morning, that this would actually be your story today as well. That's the amazing thing about Scripture, isn't it? We're able to read these, and sometimes it's narrative like this, so it's easy to connect with our own story. Sometimes it's prose or it's literature that is more like a poem or expressive or even abstract in ways that the Lord uses to connect with us. And so this one day story for these three guys happens as Jesus is preaching on the shore. As it says in verse 1, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And that word shore is not lost on us, as the symbolism is so powerful to it. Shorelines are a nexus point, aren't they? They're a point where you have a division between two things. You have this great sea, the Sea of Galilee, or it's a lake, or it's the ocean itself. And then you have the land that's over there, and everything about where we live and our homes and our jobs and everything like that. But then there's the shoreline, that nexus point. And the symbolism, I think, that's going on here is the reality that Jesus also comes into our lives at a nexus point. Yeah? That we encounter Jesus at some point in our lives and in our journey with Him. And the encounter is such that the old life that I think is represented in this water that's out there, the old life is about to change because of Jesus. because he's come out onto the shore of our lives. And now what's in front of us, the future that's in front of us, has to be dealt with because of Jesus. We have to deal with this encounter with Jesus Christ himself. And so that's going on here for these three men that we're about to meet. And it also is going on for all the crowds that have come down to see him. So that's what's happening in verse 1, that he's there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, this nexus point in the landscape and certainly in the lives of these people. And great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. That's what's happening today, great crowds pressing in to listen to the word of God. And there was something obviously about Jesus, his teaching, the compelling nature of his life and his miraculous wonders that he was performing. And they were pressing in on this nexus point in order to hear from him. There's something going on in their lives, right, in their journey. And it's something that has to do with the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And it's brought them to this place of encountering him. Yeah. And for these three men, they're actually encountering him in a bit of a different sense. It's not because they've heard about his preaching or they've heard of his miracles, but actually they're just going about their everyday lives. They're just at work. And while they're at work, they suddenly encounter Jesus. And here's what happens in verse 2. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. So these three guys are fishermen. They've just finished their morning work out in the water, trying to catch some Sea of Galilee fish in their nets, and they're done. And so now they're off to the side, and they're just washing their nets. They're doing their work. And then Jesus is suddenly coming to the shore of their lives, and they're encountering him. And there's something that's got to be done about this person, Jesus, now, even though it's happening in the middle of their ordinary, everyday lives. And this is the reality of how Jesus comes to the world. He loves the world, and he comes to people in extraordinary, compelling ways, maybe through the word of God itself, but also it happens to us even in our everyday lives. It might even be while we're at work. The point is that Jesus is reaching out. He is the one who reaches out to encounter you. Yeah. And his desire is for you to know who he is through this encounter. Might even be while you're at work. This happened to my dad. He actually has this story of starting to investigate Christianity by finding this little Bible. And he was just a young man who had been lucky to get a job at General Motors on the line as a welder. And so there he was on the line with the diesel things coming down the line for him. And he had to weld his piece onto it. And he kept in this little footlocker right in his welding space. He kept this little Bible that he was just opening up, and he was starting to see Jesus. He was starting to encounter Jesus. He'd come into the shore of his life, and now he was encountering him. And he talks about how one day they're at work, like these fishermen who are washing their nets. Their story is going on, and then Jesus, suddenly, he said that he got down on his knees right there, and it wasn't to weld something onto the diesel. Instead, he was praying, and he said, I didn't care who was looking. I just got down on my knees, and I just prayed that Jesus would come into his life, and prayed that Jesus would forgive him, and that Jesus would lead him, and that he would follow him. And he said, Jesus, I want to follow you all the days of my life right here in this job, and I want to retire here. And you know, he was blessed by the Lord. The Lord heard his prayer in that encounter. He came to Jesus, and there was an extraordinary change in his life from that day forward. He prayed a number of things. He said he also prayed that Jesus would bless him in that job and that he would retire from that place. It would be a great story of this young man who came from Northern Ontario with nothing, and all of the background would be all different because of Jesus. And he prayed that he would retire someday from that job. And he's just got an amazing story of the one day, many years later, when he was there for a retirement celebration where he did retire from that job and stood in a group picture and was getting his picture taken, and then had goosebumps as he realized that he was standing just about in that exact spot, he said, where he once kneeled down at the shoreline and having encountered Jesus, believed in him. It might be in your everyday life. It might be right now in this church. I know so many who have encountered Jesus in church services just like this. And they've come from their everyday life and they've got all kinds of things going on in their lives and they come to church and then one day, maybe it's today, there's an encounter with Jesus. And the encounter is one where Jesus wants you to actually experience who he is. He's not just showing up on the shoreline and then saying, good luck, all the best to you, but at least I'm here. But that's not who Jesus is. He's the one who reveals himself. In fact, God is the one who reveals his true nature to us. And so he wants you to know who he is. If you're encountering Jesus, he wants you to know who he really is. And that's what goes on here for these three men and for all those who are there that day. They experience a revelation of who Jesus really is. In this case, it happens through a miracle. And sometimes Jesus does that. The encounter leads to an experience of his supernatural nature because he is, in fact, God. And so the experience here is a miraculous catch of fish. Here's how it goes in the narrative. Stepping into one of the boats, verse 3, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, who's been washing his nets up till now, and he comes into the boat and to push out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." Maybe he didn't talk like that. I don't know exactly, but go deeper and catch some fish. And then Simon, you know, this is everyday life. He does this for a living. And then we have master. Simon replied, "We worked all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." Love that part. If you say so. Right. And so out go the nets. And this time, I love that. And this time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. There's a miracle. There's a revelation of his true nature. And our journey with Jesus is meant to go from encountering him to experiencing him. Yeah. And sometimes that experience, by the way, is something that is miraculous. Yeah. Sometimes it is something that cannot be explained in any other way. Yeah? I've seen it. I know it. It's been testified to. It's happened in my own life. The miraculous happens in order that we might see who he really is. And not in the sense of the genie that offers you the gifts that makes your life so much better, but a revelation of his true identity and his true nature. And the revelation here leads to Peter getting down on his knees. That's what it's supposed to do, those miraculous revelations. They're supposed to lead you to a place of saying, "I now see who you really are, Jesus. You must be God." That's amazing. I pray for miracles in your life. I pray that your encounters move to experiences that are miraculous. By the way, some of the most miraculous things I've seen have happened through just reading the Word of God. The miracle of being compelled to believe in him because there's something extraordinary that's coming out of this Word. Like I said, that happened to my dad. It's happened to so many that I know. Looked into this, I looked into that, I opened up the Word of God, I'd even read it before, but something changed this day. Something happened when I read about Jesus this day. And my encouragement would be for you that maybe today is an encounter for Jesus. He's coming onto the shore of your life. And now he's asking you to experience him, to believe in him. This is a place to go. Yeah, this is a place to go in order to experience him. But I know the Lord will reveal himself to you in powerful ways. And by the way, for those of us who believe in him, he's calling you, he's calling us to go out into the world to be that revelation for others. Yeah, so they can see the truth of Jesus Christ through us. They'll see the miraculous. They'll see the reality that he's God and how much he extraordinarily loves the world because of what we're doing and what we're saying and how we're acting and how we're praying. And all of that will be a revelation of who he is. Might even be from just listening. I had a flight really recently to Florida from Seattle, 5-hour flight, and sat down beside a stranger and did my usual thing that you may be aware of where I just simply ask, "So, what's your story? Tell me about yourself." And like I said before, people love talking about themselves. This person wanted to share on the five-hour flight. He spoke for 4.5 hours straight. That's how much he wanted to share. Yeah. And man, his story. He started talking, and he didn't stop talking. He told me about being a Vietnam veteran and how the experiences of Vietnam had stayed with him and had not gone anywhere. And he shared about how broken he was as a person coming back from Vietnam. And his whole life came out in these 4.5 hours to the point where he was literally a horse. Like, if you talk for 4.5 hours, he would find it hard to get some water here, please. And he was really finding it hard to still speak. And he said, "I'm sorry, I can't keep talking. I've been talking for this whole time." And then he said, "I'm sorry, I've been talking the whole time." He said, "It's just that I've never had anybody who listened to me. Never." And he's like, "Nobody ever listened to my Vietnam stuff. Nobody just sat there and listened. And mostly what I did was, yes, tell me more. Because I want to hear. You're kidding me. That's horrible. Tell me more. What else?" Listening, because I sensed in my heart that the Lord was telling me, you need to listen to this person. And 4.5 hours later, I got an opportunity to say, "Well, the reason why I've been listening to you is because I really want you to experience the love of Jesus Christ, who I believe in. And I really believe that by listening to you, you could see the genuine nature of what Christians are about because of who our God is." Yeah. I wanted you to somehow see the real deal. And I felt like God told me I was just supposed to listen in this case. Yeah. A nexus point on that flight, because of just listening, miraculous catch of fish. You can't get away from it. It's the amazing nature of who he is, revealing his identity as God himself among his people because of his great love for us. Well, This catch of fish, that listening on an airplane, or a man I met in Korea not so long ago who's about to go out on stage and share with this huge crowd of people. And I was talking with him in the back, and I said, "What's your deal?" And he said, "Well, I'm a physicist, particle physicist." He had a huge brain. It was massive. And he was about to carry his brain out onto the stage and then share about this. And I said, "So how'd you become a Christian?" He said, "Grew up in Korea, astro particle physicists and sciencey stuff." And then he said, "I actually decided at one point I was an atheist." He said, "And I decided at one point to go to America because I wanted to get among these Christians to tell them just how wrong they were." He said, "I was like an evangelist of atheism, and I wanted to go and tell them all that." But for him, he said that when he got to America and he started to get around people, he said suddenly he was overwhelmed by the love of Jesus. He encountered him and knew he was alive. He knew he was real. And for him, he said that all of a sudden that changed everything, and he's able to actually use this incredible knowledge that he has in order to understand the amazing design of what has been placed in front of us. And maybe it's the reality of coming into a place in order to do something totally different, but the nexus point was an experience that changed his life, and it changes their lives as well. Look at how this happens. Verse 6, "And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat." I love that part. "Help!" You can just picture him, can't you? "Help!" Maybe it's just me. I find this humor in there, but as soon as the partners come, what's that? They get up there and they pull in the fish. I love it. But they're amazed, right? They're overwhelming. And this is how he comes to us in his revelation, right? It's not little, it's an extraordinary revelation of his goodness. Think of the miracles of how there's an abundance always in these revelations of who he is. There's an abundance, even to the point where the ultimate abundance is coming back to life himself, raised from the dead. Yeah, this great abundance. And so when they see this revelation of then who he is, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus. The experience led to a decision for him. His decision was to get down on his knees and realize, this is no ordinary man. My prayer for you this morning, you would encounter Jesus. That could be even now in this place. It happens in churches all the time. You would encounter him, and then you would experience who he really is, a revelation of his true nature. Experience the loving God who comes to lift the burdens that you may have carried in today. You may have carried in a great old burden of sin and shame, secrets, lies, whatever it is, hurt, something that's been done to you. Yeah. But we know, those of us who believe in Jesus, we testify to the truth that Jesus is the one who loves so much that his abundant grace and mercy and peace, like these fish represent, the abundance is one to actually lift that burden from you. Yeah. The extraordinary nature of his forgiveness may find you wanting to also, like Peter, like Simon, be down on your knees today before him. That would be my prayer for you. And so he gets down on his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. But he's not interested in leaving the sinner. He goes after him, for he was awestruck by the number of fish. He's awestruck by who he is. They had caught, as were the others with him, his partner James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. But Jesus replied to Simon, here's the calling, don't be afraid. Yeah. In Matthew's gospel, it says, come follow me. Listen to the word of Jesus today from his scripture. Don't be afraid. Come, follow me. It's a calling. It's compelling. There's some mystery to it. The Holy Spirit reaches into our lives. He reached into my life when I was a young boy. That's why I'm loving this young girl who's being baptized today. And both all who are being baptized today are saying the same story. Of something happened. He drew me in and I believed and I received. Yeah, I received the presence of Jesus in my life. You can also believe and receive today the presence of Jesus in your life. Don't be afraid. Yeah, hear the word of God today. Don't be afraid. Hear his peace. That's the calling. Now they follow him. From now on, he said, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. That's my story. Yeah, you should read your story into that if that's in fact true for you too. It can be your story today if you've not yet believed and received. What you do from here, if this is something you're feeling compelled to do, is you come before the Lord in prayer and you say, oh God, today as I see that you've come into the shore of my life, I have experienced you even in this place to be God himself for the first time. I want to, I do believe, and I want to receive you. I want to follow you. That's what's going to be going on in this testimony of these waters. The water baptism testimony is, oh God, you came into the nexus of my life. And I've believed in you, and I've received new life through you. The new life that you've given these men in here and these girls today, anybody who's believed in him is a new life in Jesus Christ. And my calling for you today would be to believe and receive in him. And then go into all this world and love God, love others, and share the love of God with others. Yeah, so let's pray together. Oh, Father, you've revealed yourself to us. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, God among us. I pray, Lord, for all of us that we would encounter you even right now. That we might even see you as coming into our lives, coming into this shore experience of our life. And I pray, Lord, that we would experience you, a true revelation of Jesus Christ. I know that many have actually had a vision of you, Jesus, alive among them, among us. I pray for revelations. I pray for miracles. I pray for the compelling nature of your word to reach us. I pray for the everyday life of suddenly, there you are. There you are showing yourself to us. I pray that might even be right now for many. I pray, Lord, that many would reach out to you in prayer right now and say, I believe in you, Jesus. I want to receive you. I want to follow you. And thank you for these girls who testify to that now in water baptism. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.